take off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose reed.
I was going to say, there's actually a vehicle called a Big Hungry now, but it's sort of halfway between a steamroller and a grader. But it's and so once you get yourself a Johnny as well, then you'd be able to get the set for all who collect all the Drive action figures from Drive. Anyway, speaking of action figures, time for loose reads. And Jenny, you have been active reading books,
hard out.
Reading books. Is that what you say? And I said before, Jenny, you're so lit. I said, see the joke there? Come on, Sarah. Come on.
It's, I wasn't, you didn't say that.
Look at that smile, though. You can't say that wasn't an effective, easy joke. Look at that. Still smiling. It's not one of those, oh, you're a pathetic man smiles. It's actually a real genuine. It's a good joke.
I think you see what you want to see, Mike.
Literature.
I laughed when you said it.
Literature. Literary. Lit.
Speaking of.
When Max Key says something's lit, he doesn't think that. I don't know. He could be a great guy.
Probably.
Anyway, today I'm reviewing Meet Me in the Bathroom.
Sorry, Jenna.
What are you reviewing, Jenna? One more time.
Meet Me in the Bathroom.
Okay, what for?
Newbie.
Newbie.
It's by Lizzie Goodman, and it is about the rebirth in rock and roll in New York between 2001 and 2011.
That is a magnum opus. Look how massive that book. It's like as big as the Koran.
600 pages. Very sizable. So what it's looking at is introducing the period of rock and roll where not much was happening in New York, and then the Strokes came in and changed musical history. They filled quite a gap. So this book talks a lot about a lot of bands, but the Strokes underlie the whole story. So
some of those bands are on the back of the book.
I can give you... Yeah, so around the time we have the beginning of DFA, and so LCD Sound System, the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, TV on the Radio, White Stripes, Interpol, Kings of Leon... And then later on in the book, we have these bands that are influenced by the Strokes. So Vampire Weekend, The National, Franz Ferdinand, that kind
right.
of stuff.
Wow.
So, but it also, it's so interesting because politically you have 9/11, the Iraq War, and also culturally the rise of the internet and Napster. So they
I would go as far as saying it was sort of the comeback of rock and roll.
Yeah, that's right. The stories that you hear are like, it feels like you're reading a book about a band in the 70s of the drug taking and partying. And the
Not that that's what it's all about. Yeah. But yeah.
So in the beginning, a lot of these earlier bands and bands around them, like the Hives and the Vines, and start getting huge contracts and people, you know, these indie labels signing them on. But then halfway through, mostly around their second albums, that's when Napster's coming in and people are getting the music for free.
Right.
And then there's also the cultural shift of blogging, like those scenes to parties where you'd have to get your photo taken, be blogged the next day, the rise in digital photography. So there's a lot more. Yeah. So in the beginning, the Strokes were calling each other on the phone, you know, handing out flyers and sending postcards.
This is the thing back in the day. You go and you stick up flyers with glue that you make out of wallpaper paste, and
it's all changed.
It's all changed now. Now you don't do that. You just log on and
yes,
and post log and post.
What's really interesting about this book, and I think it could put some people off, but don't let it put you off, as the whole thing is told in quotes. So it's all from...
Oh, I love books like that.
So it's like watching one of those classic albums documentaries, you know, how you...
Behind the Music.
Talking Heads,
VH1, Behind the Music, The Strokes.
There's a History of Saturday Night Live book, which is huge, which is completely told in quotes as well. And I thought the same thing. I was like, where's the...
Great James Addiction book called Whores, which is was the same, which is a really great book. And it's... Plus, they're the greatest band that's ever existed. But same deal. Like, I love the quotes. May I have a browser?
Yeah, yeah.
Because they do carry a narrative.
I just broke my arm trying to carry the thing, so massive.
It's in the editing, and you get somebody's side of the story, and then you get other side of the story, and that's great.
That's really clever editing. So you have those cutting quotes that come in. So she's done a really great job. I really like that it's been curated by a woman as well. I mean, it is quite a sausagey time, but
time.
You have these great lady journalists around.
Sorry, a sausagey time?
Yeah. Yeah, sausage fest.
No, I don't understand the metaphor. Sausages and...
You'll understand one day, Mikey.
They're phallic, Mike. Sausages. They look like cocks.
But what I loved about this book is it really caused me to do some deep dives into some music that I used to listen to a lot. These guys.
Oh, they look like cocks. I get it. Yeah. Well, sorry so, about so that. Sorry, Jen. I realize that you're a high performing literary superstar, but we just sort of bring out the youth. Did say sausagey was your word, actually.
No, but that was my fault. I took it to the cafe.
You did say sausagey, though. So, Jenna. Anyway, so.
Yeah, I really just couldn't put it down. I thought it was awesome. I went in some very deep dives into the back catalogs of some old school music.
Yeah, did it make you make a playlist and check on some of the old albums?
I've been rocking the Yeah Yeah Yeahs for the last week and TV on the radio, and it's just like, yeah.
So I just opened chapter 7, first quote on chapter 7, James Murphy from DFA and LCD Sound System. New York was fucking horrible. And I thought it was the most exciting thing in the world. It was like being in the suburbs. There was nothing there, so anything was possible. Yeah, come on.
It's cool. It really pinpointed times. And I guess because I'm 32, so it really is a, you know, I was age 15 to 25 in this book, so it feels very, you know, reminiscing, thinking about being in my flat in Dunedin and going to Sounds and buying a CD every week. So, you know, I think people, when they read it, they will really feel all that good, those good feelings. Look it's at got the good photo pages too.
Look at the original Death from Above Records business card.
Yeah, it says, I don't, can I say that?
It says, off you, go away.
So it's a great, it's $45. It came out in August, so it's very new. So it's great for the musical person in your life for Christmas, because it's 6 weeks to Christmas.
Yeah. So if you weren't particularly into these bands, is it still a good snapshot? Is it still a good story? Would you recommend it in that sense?
I think so. I must say that I was more interested in the bands that I knew of than... Right. There's a few that... But I knew most of them. I love... There's this great quote from The National... What's that guy, Matt?
Matt Berenger?
Yeah, and so he's like talking about how cool the Strokes were, and he's like, yeah, they were wearing leather jackets and Chuck Taylor's or Converse's, and Converse's hurt my feet. I'm already wearing New Balances. It's just really cute.
It was quite, yeah, it was quite young. It was kind of a shot.
Converse's do have that problem though, with a sort of find that too.
Yeah, if you're standing all day.
If you're standing all day, if you're partying, if you're stomping out in the front, down the front the whole time, if you're doing the whole day at the festival, you know.
Yeah.
It's so true though.
It's got some good gossip. You know, I love gossip bits.
Yeah.
Especially about the DFA parting of James Murphy and Tim Goldsworthy. There was,
Because that got quite nasty, didn't it?
Yeah, it got nasty. There were lawyers involved. And
well, it's got bloody Ryan Adams in it. I'm not going to buy it
so
now.
Is it, it looks quite US specific.
Yeah. Well, it's so New York. Really focusing it's in New thing. York. But then also how...
It is quite specific. In New York City.
There you
2001
go.
To 2011.
In that time, they would often... Those kind of bands would get cool in England first, yeah. And then be cool in New York. Yeah,
for sure.
So these
are
this is
great.
Stuff.
I'm just really into this.
Yeah.
Have you finished reading it?
Yes, I finished reading it, Mikey. You can take it now.
Can I?
Yeah.
Can I?
Yeah.
Aww. You gotta be careful giving Mike things.
You can have it.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Did you really finish this whole book?
I did. I read it in a week.
Yeah, brum 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 brum.
So I chose a song to listen to. I was speaking to Sarah about it. I mean, obviously you would say The Strokes, but you know, Yeah Yeah Yeahs are cooler.
Also,
easy.
One of the greatest gigs of that era in this country. They came here. They played the St. James. The Mint Chicks opened for the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, which was just perfect to begin with. And then the audience was so into it, they jumped up and down so much in the St. James that bits of the ceiling fell down.
Oh, was that
down
that? Was that
people.
That? Yeah, it was then. That's right. Yeah.
Well, that brings bits it all together, doesn't it?
It was a high ceiling too.
It was bloody brilliant.
It must be one of the final gigs there as well.
It was one of the final gigs for that reason. There's bits of the ceiling falling down, not ideal.
I went to see the Strokes actually. So I missed the Strokes at the Big Day Out, which apparently because I was DJing at the Silent Disco.
Hey.
And all my friends are going, "My God, that was one of the greatest things I've ever seen." He was really drunk, but it was amazing. And I didn't see that.
Why are you looking at me like
that? I'm just saying. I'm sure it's maybe a session for sympathy. But then I went to see them at the St. James, and they were great. But I tell you what, by that stage, the ladies, you ladies with the Strokes. Goodness gracious.
There are some quite funny
just
quotes about
just standing there, just packs of 10 or 20 girls just gawping, like that.
It was a new type of really hot guy.
It was a new type of hot guy, which classically lampooned.
Rip off. It's a rip off. He's a rip off from the others.
Noel Fielding and Julian Barrett, Mighty Boosh.
Yeah, right.
And they
get
the horrors on, and you can only join the band if you're so skinny and can fit into the smallest size of black jeans.
Mm. And the Kings of Leon talk about their mum, like they couldn't find their jeans, so the mum would sew them or get female jeans and then make them skinnier. Yeah. And yeah, it's just one of the guys had half an hour. It took him half an hour to be able to bend his knees.
That's right.
What about
cutting off your circulation?
What about Kings of Leon for just being such an amazing band and just putting out such a rubbish album, the last one?
Well, that was another good deep dive. The 2004 one and the 2006 one. I was like, man, these are great albums. They were so good.
They're
cool.
Great. Like their first two or three albums are just like four albums maybe are phenomenal. Their last ones.
Hits.
I think they just sort of really love becoming some sort of like hoedown U2.
Did they become dads?
Maybe. Don't blame on dads. Girl, we're all dads still. Dads still know how to rock the party.
Dads can still rock the party, but I feel like maybe they lost their focus a little bit.
I feel like maybe they got a bit massive. I like when they played the big day out and they're just so stoned that they just were standing there, and then they played that song Tranny at the end, and they just off the first album, such a good song. And then they just sort of go, like a tranny on a wheel, and then they bust out this big thing. It's the first time they moved in like the whole set, and everyone's just steaming hot, and there's dust blowing around. Everyone just lost their minds. It was awesome. And then they come and do big rock shows now, you know. And then they get hairdressers and shit now. They've got hairdressers and they obviously have a stylist. Before that, it was like a bunch of munters. It was awesome.
There's actually quite a good chapter in there about the idea of selling out, but then also of how that, because of the change in music, bands did need to start selling their music to corporate ads and stuff to make money.
And so, is that kind of blamed on the rise of Napster and things like that as well?
Right. And some people like it and some people don't. So you can see the good and bad sides of it. So more people are listening, but you're making less money. Like the guy from TV on the Radio talks about how people take their burnt CD for him to sign
to
it.
Sign,
and it's just like they don't get it.
That's pretty heartbreaking. Although I know a friend of mine just was in Las Vegas and happened across Mike Tyson doing a book signing.
Yeah.
And you could buy a photo from design. How much do you reckon?
$50?
$100 US.
Sweet.
Which still Mike Tyson gets.
Did he do it?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, cool. He sent me a photo and I thought it was him with a waxwork. And I was going, that's so you. Classic. And he just sent me a little video. It's like, oh my god, it's actually Mike Tyson. He's sitting next to Mike Tyson. The old Huck. Hey, he's sitting next to Mike Tyson. Hey, the old Huck.
Hey, you gotta make your money.
Good on you, Huck. And then so I thought that was pretty much $100 though for a photo, let alone buying the book, which would have been what, covered $20, $25.
$100 is peanuts in Vegas.
That's true.
People will be. There will be like a.
Just as an aside, he said that. He said that he just was that. Yeah, you know, this was like a week, 2 weeks after that shooting there. He said that everybody's vibe was so up. He said you'd never have even noticed. He said people talked about it, but just.
It's got to be a resilience. Yeah. I mean, you can go one of two ways potentially.
Mm.
I love Vegas. That shooting happened the week of our wedding anniversary and we got married in Vegas. And so I was following our vendors and our chapel and what they were writing about it. And our chapel said, you know, please come back. You know, the weddings are still going. All we need is love. And the people there are just so awesome.
Don't let it stop us kind of deal.
Yeah.
Right,
So
name of this book is Meet Me in the Bathroom.
Meet Me in the Bathroom, After the Stroke Song, published by Faber and Faber, $45, 600 pages, or Keep You Going All Summer by Lizzie Goodman. Very, very good. My favourite musical read of this year.
Holy hell!
Yeah.
And you picked us
You drop it in the middle of November as well. Jeez.
Yeah. And last year, Moby pops up in here, and his was my favourite autobiography of last year. But so I picked...
Really? Was it? Oh, interesting. No, cool.
He is hilarious.
He's a funny little dude, eh? He came up here once. He's a great guy. Signed my album for me. Didn't cost me anything.
Very good book. Very good book. I've picked Cheated Hearts because I thought something peepee song.
Just got 9:30 on BFM. We put the B back in beautiful music.
Put the B in. Meet me in the bathroom.
Hey, Mike, I'll take a picture.
We put the B back in books.
With your book.
With my new book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Jenna.
Wet. It's got. It's had, I think I put, was reading in the bathroom or something.
Cheated by the opposite of. Reads.